Today is a busy Sunday. It's snowing. It's day of consecrated life. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's also a Sunday in which literally thousands and thousands of young adults, college students, focused missionaries gather for their SEEK conference. Actually, 25,000 have gathered this week. They couldn't gather physically, but they're gathering as we speak virtually, including a group of young adults that are back there in the Newman Room right now as we speak. So lots of things are happening today, wonderful things, great things, things to be joyful and grateful about. One of the things that happens today is that we honor our consecrated men and women. This celebration was started by John Paul II, as you heard from Father Gill, back in 1997. It was connected, actually, to the Feast of the Presentation, which is also a day that traditionally candles are blessed that will shed light. So appropriate for those in consecrated life who, through their very, very lives, shed light. The light of Christ that at one point in their own personal journey and lives began to touch and tug at their heart. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the church in Philadelphia, has been profoundly blessed by consecrated life. Not just by newer congregations like those who are here right now, Sisters of Life and Sisters of Mercy of Alma, the sisters that serve at St. Veronica's in Southern Chester County. Actually, there are congregations here that go back to the very inception of this diocese. The Sisters of St. Joseph, the Sisters of Mercy, the IHM Sisters, the Blessed Sacrament Sisters. And that's just to name a few. They taught our schools. Many, many of you who are here today and listening to us, remember the sisters and the brothers, the Christian brothers, the Augustinians, the Jesuits, or this one, or that. You know, it's like a candy store, right? It's filled with candy. The church is filled with so many blessings of congregations of men and women that following the charism of their founder, they serve the church. And so we thank them for their ministry and for their presence back then and today as they continue to serve and walk with the people of God, each bringing their gifts, each bringing their touch, their spirituality, and their charism that was handed on to them by their founder. In many ways, what they do for us is what Jesus proclaims in this gospel and does in this gospel. So we see Jesus in the gospel teaching, preaching, and then healing. He spends a lot of time healing, you know, a lot of time. Part of the marks of the kingdom of God is the Father's desire to make us whole. To make us whole from sin, to make us whole from ailments of the soul, of the spirit, as well as the body. We see that in today's gospel, right? But Jesus spent a lot of time that day. He had a busy day that day. He rose up early and went to the synagogue, and then he ends up at Peter's home. And he does a miracle there. And then he goes on, and they started bringing him. I could just imagine all the different types of folks that were being brought to Jesus for him to touch them. Some were physically ill and spiritually ill. Some were oppressed by evil. And his very word and his very touch healed them. And that ministry of healing, of making people whole, has been handed on by Christ to the church. And priests and religious and lay people have so much been a part of that ministry of healing united to Christ. We have been the recipients of that healing, haven't we? And we still are the recipients of that healing, and we will be the recipients of that healing, because we are in need of healing, because we're not done yet. We're not done yet. The Lord is not done with us either. We need healing ourselves. And what type of healing we all need? Well, the Lord knows, and we partially know deep within our own hearts, in that place where no one penetrates except the Lord. Each one of us is a universe inside, you know? And only the Lord knows, and we partially know, the areas that need to be touched and need to be healed. And just like happened 2,000 years ago in this gospel, we too come before the Lord and ask Him to touch us and heal us. I think the Lord would ask us, what do you need to be healed today? What needs to be touched in your life? It's important for Him to have us name it too, actually. There's a miracle story, a healing story, where Jesus hears a man kind of screaming out to Him, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, touch me, heal me." He had been sitting by the side of a pool that was supposed to have healing powers. It had the reputation, if you will, of having healing powers. It was a pool by the temple. And this guy had been there for 37 years. And when Jesus hears him, he goes over to him, and he does something very interesting in this particular healing. He asks this guy, "What is it that you want?" Which is an interesting question. It's kind of an absurd question, actually. So if someone falls off a ship, and he's out there, or she's out there, saying, "Help me, help me, help me, I can't swim." And you come over and you say, "What do you want?" That would seem kind of absurd, right? Because it's obvious that they want a lifeguard. You know, what do they call that? Those donuts? A life wheel, whatever. They want that, right? Why do you have to ask? Isn't it obvious? But Jesus does ask him, "What is it that you want?" He doesn't answer the question, though. It's interesting, he doesn't answer the question. He kind of starts telling his sob story. "I've been here for 37 years, and other people, I haven't been able to get to the pool because other people get in my way." He tells them his story. And Jesus, while he listens, at the end, he says to him, "Listen, if you want to walk, get up and walk. And stop complaining." And he frees him, actually, from something more than his physical paralysis. He actually heals him of an emotional and spiritual paralysis. He wants to make us whole. So as we come here today and Jesus encounters us in this particular gospel, in which we encounter his healing power and his healing ministry, what do you need to be healed from? Can you name it? Do you know? Mis queridos hermanos, el Evangelio de hoy presenta a Jesús como el gran sanador, ¿no? El que salva, el que sana. Y nos pide el Evangelio de hoy que identifiquemos para el Señor las áreas de nuestra vida que necesitan ser sanadas, tocadas por su ministerio, por su mano sanadora y milagrosa. Cada uno de nosotros las tenemos, ¿no? Áreas de nuestra vida que necesitan la sanación del Señor. Y el Evangelio hoy nos presenta a este Jesús que viene con la disponibilidad de sanarnos para que seamos completos en cuerpo, en alma y espíritu. Pidámosle al Señor la gracia de poder discernir aquello en nosotros que Él puede sanar y que lo presentemos ante Él con un corazón confiado. So we present at this Eucharist these areas of our lives that need to become whole. And we trust and we hope in God's unbelievable, unreasonable almost, unreasonable, incredible healing love for each of us.